Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Yevameis Daf Samach Aleph. We are on the very last line of Samach Amud Beis. Tanya V'chein, Hoya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Another halach in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Kivrei Oibdei Kechavim, Einon Mitamen Bo'il. You should know that a kaver of a non-Jew will not transmit tumah by way of oil. Rashi says, "Ein metamen es hama'il aleim." If one hovers over a kaver of a non-Jew, he does not contract tumah. So maga masa, yes, touching, carrying a eved kechavim mace transmits tumah, but not merely through hovering through oil. How do we know this? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Va'aten tzoyni tzoyin marisai." Adam Atem, the pasuk describes Klal Yisrael, Va'aten, you are my flock, you are Adam. Now the pasuk in Parashas Chukas, which discusses Tumas oil by a mace, it says Adam ki yamas be'oil. Only an Adam, only one who has this title Adam can transmit Tumah by way of oil, by way of being under the same roof as you, or you're hovering over the mace, all types of variations of oil. Only an Adam does that. And this pasuk indicates that only Klal Yisrael is deserving of the title Adam. Atem, it says Adam, Atem. Atem, Kriyin, Adam. You are considered Adam, and therefore you are metame b'oil. V'ein ha'idek yachavim kriyin Adam, as opposed to the goyim. The title Adam does not apply to them. Now there's a famous story, I think it was with Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, who was summoned to the king, accused him of degrading the goyim. Look, take a look at your Talmud, Gemara Yevamos, Daf Samach Aleph. Oydek Chavim are not called Adam. We're not human beings. How can you say that? That's absolutely insulting and degrading. Rabbi Yonasan, in his utmost cleverness, responded like this. I'll tell you what the Gemara means. It's not as simple as it sounds. Adam means one unit. Look, a person, although he's comprised of so many parts and so many limbs, bottom line is, it's all part of the same person. Look, if one hurts his finger, everything hurts. When he has an ailment in his stomach, his head feels it too. That is Klal Yisrael. That's unique to us. Nothing bad about the non-Jews, but there's something unique about the community, the kahal of Klal Yisrael. We consider ourselves to be one unit. We feel each other's happiness and pain. V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha is unique to us. Atem kriyim Adam. We're considered one Adam. Klal Yisrael constitutes one unit, one entity, one Adam. And that is unique about us. Something which is unfound anywhere else in the world. General world population, all the nations don't have this unique quality of unity, of achdus, of feeling as one. That's all the Gemara means. Atem kriyim Adam. Ve'eino ivdik echavim kriyim Adam. And he got off the hook. Says the Gemara, how can you say that a non-Jew is not considered Adam? Meisive, bevakasha from a braisa, the pasuk by the Melchemes Midian. It says, "V'nefesh Adam shisha asar aleph." That 16,000 humans, people. You see, an Adam is used to describe a guy. Mishum behema. Over there, it's in contrast to behema. Since we mentioned behema, so how do we contrast? Sorry, Adam to behema. By giving them the title Adam. But just the word Adam on its own would not be used in this context. Only to describe Yisrael. It's interesting because the Kuzri actually writes that there are, generally speaking, four categories of creation. There's inanimate, right? The Doimim, Tzoymeach, Chai, living being, and Adam, and Medaber, Adam. So you have the inanimate, you have the plants, you have the animals, and you have the medaber, person, human being who has the ability to speak. Says the Kuzri, there's a fifth layer on top of that. Yisrael. Yisrael is the fifth category on top of the pyramid. Fits very well with this Gemara. And Ovid Gechavim is somewhere in between the medaber and the Yisrael. So, sure, relative to the Yisrael, he's not Adam, but relative to the Behemoth, he is. Because it's right in the middle. So it's Mishum Behemoth, on account of Behemoth, relative to Behemoth, we call him Adam. What about the pasuk by Nineveh? Asher yesh bo harbi mishtei masrei riboy Adam, asher lo yada ben yimini l'smoili. Here again, the pasuk is describing the Ovid Gechavim in Nineveh as Adam. Once again, Mishum Behemoth, because we're speaking of Behemoth, so relative to Behemoth, we call them Adam. What about Kol Hireg Nefesh? V'chol Nogea B'cholot Hischato? Here's a kasha, because by Midian, when they finished the warfare with Midian, which were who were Goyim, it says they have to observe all the halachas of Tumah, Tumah Shiva, 7 days of Tumah. What do you mean? They were just Goyim. Answers the Gemara, Dilma Iktel Chad Miyisrael. Maybe one of the Jews passed away as a result of that war, and therefore he generates Tumah. V'rabbanan, they respond by saying, no, you can't say that. L'nifkad b'menu ish. Pasuk clearly indicates that there was nobody missing, no casualties on the side of Bnei Yisrael. Rab Shimon ben Yochai, he says no. Perhaps there were casualties, even on the Yisrael side, and that's what generated Tumah. L'nifkad b'menu ish just means la'aver. There was nobody that fell off. Nobody missing, nobody dropped away from the community la'avera to engage in wrongdoing. But as far as casualties, perhaps there were. So that's the answer to that question. Ravina Amar, he says, look, very simply speaking, there is tuma by goyim, but not tuma's oil. And that's what the pasuk is speaking about. Of course, the pasuk, as we mentioned, excludes the Ovid Gechavim from Tumas Oyel. Why? Tchsiv Adam Kiyomas Be'Oyel. This Adam requirement is specific to Tumas Oyel. But that pasuk by Midian is speaking about other forms of Tumma. Through contact, through carrying Mimaga. Whether through contact or Mimasa, through carrying Mimatinu Kro. Since when were they excluded in terms of those types of Tumas? Of course not. Rabbi Shimon Yechai is speaking about Tumas Oyel, because the Pasuk Adam Ki Yomas Ba'Oyel is speaking about Adam of Yisrael. But other forms of Tumah, of course, even though Ovid Gechavim is Matame, and that's what we're speaking about by Midyan. Continues the Mishnah. So we know that a Kohen Gadol must marry a Besula. Can't marry an Almana, which a Kohen Hedyut can. He has to keep away from an agrusha and a chalutza. So let's say the following happens. Iris is almana. He's a kohen headed, ordinary kohen, engages an almana. V'nisman ali is kohen gadol. And then Mazel Tov, suddenly he's appointed as kohen gadol, who may not marry an almana. He's stuck. He's engaged, but not yet married. He's now a kohen gadol, who shouldn't marry an almana. Yichnes, he can marry. Once he got engaged to her, in a permissible state, he just continues. In fact, there was a story to prove this. Umasa b'yesho ben gamla. Shekidesh es Marta bas baisus. Yesho ben gamla was mekadesh Marta. She was a famous widow, a wealthy widow. Umino ha-melech li'es kohen gadol. And suddenly, the king appointed him kohen gadol, who may not marry an almana. What did he do? V'kinsa. He proceeded and married her. So this proves this point. However, Shemiras Yavam, Shanaflo of Nikoin Hedid. We have a similar case. A Shemiras Yavam. She's a Yavama, who is obviously an Almana, right? Due to her husband's passing. She presents to a Kohen Hedid, brother of her husband. That's legal. He can marry her. And then suddenly turns into a Kohen Gadol. V'nisman aliyas Kohen Gadol, which is typically done through through his fellow Kohanim, who elect him together with the king. Suddenly, he's a Kohen Gadol. What's to be done here? Here we don't allow it. Avo b'sha'asa ba'mamar. Here's a chiddush. Even though this kohen had it may have even been mekadosh the yavam. He did that mamar. Harezel lo yichnas, he can't go on and marry her. It's very different. She's not really his acquisition. It's his brother's widow, and therefore in this case, even though he did that mamar, we don't treat it as though the relationship has already been initiated to the point that he can just complete it. Tanu Rabbanan, minayin, how do we know this? Shim iris es almana v'nis mana liyis kain gadol sheyichneis, that if a kain hedit engages in almana and then turns into a kain gadol, that he may continue and marry her. Tamar loyma yigach isha. Pasuk says that a kain gadol must marry a besula, ki im besula me'ama v'kach isha. The word isha is an extra word to allow this case. Yachi shemeros yavam nami. If that's the case, apply it to the shemeros yavam as well. She fell to him as a yavama when he was a kohen hedid, and then he turns into a kohen gadol. Maybe he can do yavam. Isha. It says isha. Isha is a regular wife, his own wife, his own kala. V'lo yavama as opposed to yavama came by way of his brother. We don't apply it in that case. And this halacha is supported with the story of the Maaseh B'Yehoshua ben Gamla, who engages Marta Bas Baisus and then turns into a kohen gadol. The Mishnah says, how did that happen? How was he appointed? Was he elected by popular vote by the other kohanim who appointed him, or was it just some sort of a prearranged agreement with through the king, who was paid off? Mishnah uses the word uminuhu, uminehu, uminohu, kohen hamelech. The melech appointed him. It was a personal appointment. It wasn't by way of popular consent. Uminohu in. It was a personal appointment by the king. He was paid off to appoint him. This manaloi. It wasn't something that was put through the standard. Process. It wasn't through a formal procedure. It was something on the side, under the table, deal with the king. Amar Rav Yosef Katir. Katir is a lesson of Kesher. It's a term used to describe a scheme. Katir kachazino hacha. That's what I see over here. It was a scheme. It was prearranged. It was a backdoor deal between Marta Bas Baisus, his kalo, his wealthy widow, of course, wanted her future husband as kohen gadol. She paid off the king. Damar v'ase tarkava de dinri. Tarkava means trey, two, and kav, two and one. Three sums, three kav, three amounts of dinrim, of coins. Ailo le Marta bas baisis. Marta paid off. Le yanei malka to the king. Yanei ademuke le Yeshua ben Gamla. To have Yeshua ben Gamla appointed b'kahane rari as a kohen gadol. It's interesting that, firstly, Tosfos over here points out that this Yanai HaMelech, who was not the famous Yanai in Kedushin over there because he was a haughty fellow and he wanted to be Kohen Gadol, and he would never have allowed anybody else to take that position. So it appears that we're speaking about two different Yanai HaMelechs. Now there's another question regarding the identity of this person, Yeshua ben Gamla. You see, we have another reference to Yeshua ben Gamla in Bava Basra, who's actually praised and held in very high regard. In fact, the Gemara says, because of him, Zachar Yeshua ben Gamla Latoiv, if not for him, Torah had been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. He was the one who, by the way, initiated the whole concept of yeshivas. Until that point, a father would teach a son. That's where it went. He says, look, not every father can teach a son. Not always does it work out. He instituted yeshivas. He introduced the concept of having a Rebbe teach Talmidim who are not his sons. That's when it began, the first yeshiva, way back in Yeshua ben Gamla's time. In any case, he seems to have been a righteous fellow, and here we see that he was slipped in through the back door and appointed kohen gadol, even though he wasn't really deserving of it. Rashi says, "Shelo yehi roi l'kach." He wasn't really deserving of that position. Ela shenasan mamon uminu, they paid him, they put off the king to appoint him. So is this the same Yeshua ben Gamla or not? So some learned that it was two different people. That's how they taste Yeshanim over here. He says, "Ein ze Yeshua ben Gamla, that person, she'oseh tzadik hoya, that other person was a tzadik. Rather, this person here was an acher, who was a different person with the same name. But if I remember correctly, they taste Yeshanim in Yuma, actually asks the same question. He says, no, he says, look, there's nothing wrong with him. He was roy to be Kohen Gadol, but there were others perhaps better than him and more deserving than him. And fine, his wife paid off the king to have him appointed, but wasn't inherently something wrong with him. He was a great man. He was a tzaddik. But this position was actually purchased, was bought off through his wife and Yana HaMelech. Interesting historical account here. Zok Tegmar Vayta. Kohen Gadol Shemes Achav. Kohen Gadol Shemes Achav. So you have a Kohen who passes away, and his brother, the potential Yavam, is a Kohen Gadol. We just learned that a Kohen Gadol cannot do Yibam. Why? Because she's an almana. The only option is chalitza, but not yibam. Asks the Gemara, what's the problem? Kapasak v'tani. The Mishnah just states the halacha flat out. No difference. Lo yishnam in the erison, irrespective of whether this almana, this yivama, is presenting from erison. She was only engaged to that brother. In which case, she's still a besula. She's an almana. He can't marry her, an almana, it's a leis haseh, but she's still a besula, so he's going to be mekayim mitzvah haseh of marrying a besula. So it's either that case, v'loishna min anasurin, or a yivama, who has been married to this brother. In which case, she's no longer a besula as well. In both cases, kohen gadol cannot do yivam. Why? Bishlam min anasurin, understand from nasurin, she's A, an almana, B, a non-besula. He would be transgressing a nasei by not marrying a besula, and a leis hasei be marrying an almana, and of course that's not allowed. Asei v'leis hasei, right? If a nasei, you can't have the asei of yibam override both. A nasei doyche leis hasei v'asei. So of course it's not an option. Eliminate erison, but what's wrong with doing yibam to a yivam who's coming off just having been engaged? True. She's an almana, but she's still a besula. Yovei Yasei, let the Yasei of Yibam come and override. V'yitche es leis Yasei, push away the love of the almana. Answers the Gemara, it's Medirabban. Gzeiro bia rishoin, the true, the first interaction is fine. That's a fulfillment of mitzvahs Yibam. But that might lead to another interaction, Oto bia shnia, for which there's no excuse and no justification. So on account of that concern, we don't allow Yibam. Says the Mishnah, Kohen Hedyot Lo Yisa Eilanes. An ordinary Kohen should not marry an Isha who is physically unable to have children. Elim Kain Geish Lo Isha Bonim, unless he has a wife and children, meaning he was already in full fulfillment of Mitzvah's period of Rivya. Now, why is this specific to a Kohen? We're going to see in the Gemara. Rabbi Da Omer, Afa Bi Sheish Lo Isha Bonim Lo Yisa Eilanes. Here's a Chiddush. Any Kohen may not get involved with an islandess. An Isha who's organ deficient, can't have any children. Why not? Shehi zoyna, hamor b'teira. Since she is physically unable to have children, interacting with her doesn't generate offspring, she's considered a zoyna. It's interaction for the sake of interaction, that's not appropriate for the kohen. In fact, she's considered chayav elavin. A Kohen may not involve himself with a Zayna. That's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. It's a Chiddush. Which the Chacham take issue with. The Chacham, I mean, no, ain't Zayna. Ela Giyoris, Meshachreris, Vishanivala Bilaslus. That's not called a Zayna. No, of course not. Zayna means she interacted with somebody inappropriately. She has prior experience with a guy. That's what the Giyoris is all about. Meshachreris, right? She was a Shivcha. She interacted with the Eved. Or Shnevela Bilasnus, she was somebody who interacted with a mamzer, an erva. That's considered a zayin. Amalei Rosh Galus L'Rav Huna, he asked Rav Huna Shaila, my time, why do we say a kohen should not marry an ilamis? Unless he has an isha upanim. That's the Tanakama's opening statement in the Mishnah. What's wrong? Because he has to have kids, right? My time, I'm a shumpiri v'ribi, because of the mitzvah, right? Why is it specific to Kohanim? A period of Arabia, Kohanim, Hudim of Hakti, Vishrolim of Hakti? Only Kohanim are instructed to be Mekayim, Pru, Revu, not Yisraelim. Why is this only an issue for a Kohen? You're right. The first halacha, the mission applies to every person. Don't marry an islandess unless you already have children. Because you have to be mekayim piri of a ribya. Why mention a kohen? The Mishnah was just using matching terminology because of Rabbi Yehuda, who was about to come forth in the next line, who mentioned the kohen with the islandess, with that zoyna concern. So therefore the Tanakama made reference to kohen as well, but of course it applies to Yisrael too. Amar Lemishim the Kabbalim is safer because he wanted to come back with Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Afa Bishayish Leisha Veish Leivanim Leisa Islandess. Even if he has a wife and children, there's no issue of pur revu. He shouldn't get involved with an islandess. This is a kohen. She is zoyna number b'tori because she's a zoyna, and of course this only applies to a kohen. The azoyna, the restriction of zoyna, only applies to kohanim. Kohanim udim afakti. Only they're instructed on the Yisraelim afakti. Yisraelim don't have that restriction. So once Rabbi Yehuda speaks about kohanim, Meshumachik tani kohen, Tanakama mentioned the kohen as well, but of course Tanakama's concern of pru revu applies to kohanim, levim, and Yisraelim equally. So that's a chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. This type of woman is considered a zoyna. Amar Rav Huna, my time with the reader, where is it coming from? The chassid of the pasuk says, "Ach levela yizbu, his levela yifreitz." And we learn that getting involved with an isha who can't bear children, kol bia she'ein ba pirtza, an interaction with an isha in a non-offspring context, einoya ella bila znus, that's considered znus. Now Tosis points out, of course, it doesn't refer to a ketana, even though she's underage and she can't yet have children. It's not called. That's not considered because, remember, the term zoyna relates to the isha herself. I'm not speaking about the specific interaction. Does it generate children or not? That's not the issue. The issue is the isha. Is she a zoyna? An isha who, by definition, by virtue of her nature, can't bear children, an islandess. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's called bia she'ein ba pirtz. She's called a zoyna. But a ketana, says Tosfos, eventually she'll grow up, she'll have children. So although in her current state, interacting with her can't even potentially bring children, but in determining the status and title of this isha, you cannot say that she is any different from any ordinary isha. Nothing wrong with her, nothing deficient with her. She can bear children, just give her some time. And therefore, says Tosfos, is no concern. Tanya Blazer Omer, here comes a chiddush. Koyin lo yisas aktana, a koyin, even a koyin headed, should not marry a ketana. Why? What could be wrong with a ketana? We just explained the name of Tosfos. Even Rabbi Yehuda would be in full agreement that a ketana is not a zayin. So what's wrong? A maler of Chizda, le rabba. Chizda gave rabba an assignment. Puk, go out, ayin bo, investigate this matter, look into it, figure out what Rabbi Blazer is coming from. The leorta, because tonight boiler Rav Huna menach, Rav Huna is going to ask you the pshat. Go figure it out. So he heeded the call. He heeded the assignment. Nafak. He went out. Ayinbo. He looked into it. And he concluded as follows. The only way I can explain Rabbi Lezer is with the following formula combination. Rabbi Lezer Sabla Kareb Meir. A. Rabbi Lezer Hosak Kareb Meir. B. Vesabla Kareb Yehuda. He Hosak Kareb Yehuda. Explains the Gemara. Sabla Kareb Meir. Rabbi Lezer follows Rabbi Meir, the Chayesh Lamiyuta. He's always concerned about even a minority. Typically, we're not concerned about a miut, only a roiv. Rabbi Meir is concerned even about miut. Okay, that's number one. Number two, v'sav alok Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Lezer follows Shittas Rabbi Yehuda, da'amar, ailoinis zoyna havyo. An isha is an islandess. Is considered a zoyna unfit for marriage to a kohen. And therefore, a kohen should marry a ketana. What's the connection? Very partial, because as long as she's still a ketana and she hasn't yet presented the simanim of an adult, pubic hairs, etc., you'll never know. Perhaps she's an islandess. An islandess also doesn't present herself that way. And really, that's only something you can determine once she reaches adulthood. And then you see, okay, she's not presenting the simanim gadlus. Apparently, she's an islandess. Therefore, says Rabbi Lezer, don't marry even a ketana because she might, you never know. A small chance, 1 in 1,000. She might be an islandess. There's no way to tell them apart at this point, at this early stage in life. Because absence of any pubic hair, etc., doesn't denote anything. It's just a ketana who's underage to begin with. So it's just a chayshina l'miyuta. The chayshish is for the minority, one in a thousand, which may be an islandess. And therefore, don't marry a ketana because she might be an islandess. And what's wrong with an islandess? Oh, we're following Rabbi Yehuda. An islandess is a zayna. That's a pshat blood. It's the only way to explain it. Asks the Gemara. How can you say that? Rabbi Elazar follows Rabbi Meir and he follows Rabbi Yehuda. He follows Rabbi Meir about Tanya. We have a price. Katan uktana lechotzen vlemi yapen. Divir Rabbi Meir. Go to Rabbi Meir. A katan, a ktana, who are yavam and yavam, can't do chalitza, nor yivam. Amalin Rabbi Meir. Chacham asked him, why? So granted, yavam martyr, it makes sense what you say, when you say she'en chotzen, they can't do chalitza. You know why? Ish ksiva parsha. Pasuk says, chalitza pertains to an adult. Okay, so if he's a katan, no chalitza. We connect the yavama to the yavam. Okay, that's a drasha, it's a lima later on. Katan and tana, no chalitza. What's wrong with yavam? Elamai time ma'im yavman. Omar lahem, Rabbi Meir responds, technically, sure, a katan and tana can do yavam. But the concern is as follows. Katan shouldn't do yibum shema yimotzei saris. Maybe he'll turn out to be a saris. It's like an islandess. A fellow who's physically unfit to bear children, in which case, he's exempt from yibum. The whole point is to re-establish the family of the departed fellow. A saris who can't bear children doesn't do yibum. Now, typically, you can tell. Once he reaches a certain age, you can tell him apart from the rest. He doesn't have the simanim of a gadol. But here it's a katan. Who's lacking simanim regardless, there's no way to identify him. So he might just be a saris. You never know. And again, Rabbi Meir is choshesh lamiut, right? You never know. Every child in the street might be a saris. Ketana, the same thing with her. Shema timotzi islandess. Although now you can't tell her apart, but maybe when she grows up, she'll be an islandess. Who again is unfit for mitzvah yibum, which point is to regenerate her departed husband's family. And if it turns out that I'm right, that he's a Saris and or she's an islandess, v'nimtzu pagan be'erva, they're doing an avera because they're relating with each other in a non-mitzvah situation. That's Rabbi Meir. V'tanya. Now listen to this price. We have Rabbi Lezer here. K'tana m'si abemez v'nechaletzes. Did Rabbi Lezer. Clearly, Rabbi Lezer doesn't hold a Rabbi Meir. He says, a ketana? Chalitza not, as we explained, because the pasuk requires a gadol, but yibum, gezuntayit. There's nothing holding her back. We're not choshesh that, oh, maybe she's one of the million that happens to be an islandess. We're not choshesh lemiyuta. So that's strike one. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Meir are not compatible. Number two, you're lining Rabbi Lezer up with Rabbi Yehuda as well. We're concerned that she's an islandess, right? And if an islandess, you can't marry a kohen, because it's a zoina. In the next brisa, we'll see clearly Rabbi Lezer is not hold of that definition of zoina. Rabbi Yehuda misavarla, where does Rabbi Lezer hold the Rabbi Yehuda about Tanya? We have a brisa which defines the word zoina in the Torah, which is usher for a kohen. Zoina kishma, div Rabbi Lezer. What does zoina mean? Literally zoina, Rashi says, about 12 lines from the top. Kishma, lashon toya, deviator. She strays from her husband. La'achirim. The Rabbi Lezer says, Rashi ain zoyne aleishas ish. Achidish. Zoyne means you stray. You turn away. From whom? From the man you meant to be with, your husband. So, according to Rabbi Lezer, there's only one scenario that fits the bill. There's only one type of isha who is described as a zoyne. Only one that earns that title, that's an aleishas ish, who strays from her husband. And certainly not just a plain islandess who did nothing wrong. Clearly, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yehuda are incompatible. Okay, that's pretty much the kasha, but we're going to go through the whole braisa here with many shittes, many different definitions of zoina. According to Rabbi Lezer, again, it's Eshes Ish who was involved in inappropriate behavior. Rabbi Kiva Eimer, you know what zoina means? Zumuf Keres, an Isha who's Hefker. She's mafkir herself. She makes herself available to everybody. So that's called a zayin. Rav Masi ben Charash Omer afilo holach bala lashkoisa. Here's a chiddush. Even if she interacted inappropriately with her own husband, that's called a zayna. So what happened was she was a saita, and her husband went to the Beis HaMikdash to give her that water to drink. Ubole abaderech, on the way, he lived with her as married, which of course is asr. That interaction is asr, zayna makes her a zayna. Bida imer, zayna zu ailanis. Oh, this is our sugya, because it's a type of isha who could only interact for the sake of interacting without bearing children. Chacham imer, no. No, ein zayna alagi yeres v'mishach reres v'shenival abilas nus. An islandess is not called a zayna. It's only somebody who had an inappropriate experience, interacted with a guy or an erev or a mamzer. Here comes a chiddush. Rabbi Lazar Oymer, this is without a yud, a different tana. He says even ponoy habala pnuya, even an unmarried man who interacts as married with an unmarried woman. So there's no arayis here. It's inappropriate, but it's not an erev. Shaloi l'shem ishus. He interacts not for the sake of marriage. Asa zayna, he turns her into a zayna. It's a chiddush. Interesting. Taisus asks the kasha. He says, why does he make reference to the man as a pani? What's that pertinent here? So he says, this is Taisus right off to the side here. Lav dafka nokat pani. The word pani is lav dafka. The kolshkin nasi. Certainly, of course, kolshkin, if he's married and he's acting inappropriately with an unmarried woman. He says, of course, in that case where he's straying from his wife, certainly that experience makes this isha with whom he interacts a zayna. Interesting twist from Taisus. In any case, we have all those shittas and pretty much clarified that Rabbi Eliezer does not work with Rabbi Yehuda's definition of zayna applied to an islandess. So bottom line is, why does Rabbi Eliezer tell us that a kohen should not marry a ketana? What's wrong with a ketana? Elamar v'adabar av, I'll explain to you. Hachem kohen gadol askin. We're not speaking about a regular kohen. A kohen gadol who's involving himself with a ketana. Right? What's wrong with that? Because la'imas kekanila. When is he really going to acquire her? L'chi gadol, when she grows up. Meaning, while she's a ketana, you can't marry a ketana. It's not a true marriage. And by the time she grows up and is ready for real marriage with him, l'chigdadla bulahi. Right? Once she grows up, she's already past the experience. She's already past the basulim. She's no longer a basula. Because of all that time she spent with him. That's the problem. Amar Rav, I don't understand. How to understand what you mean here? Mikale lev, as she says, k'moy Mibli lev. This is like has been said without any thought. It doesn't make. It's just a way of saying it doesn't make sense. Why? E the kitcha of war. How did this ketana ever get involved with the kohen gadol? Who brought her into the fold? Who introduced her to the kohen gadol? Is it the father? E the kitcha of war. Well, guess what? A father has the ability to mekadesh his daughter minat Torah. Ma yishato de kanila. At that moment, she is his, minat Torah. He did kedushin with a besula, perfectly fine. Read the kitchen nafsha. Oh, so we're speaking, there's no father around. And she just married herself off to the kohen gadol, which of course is not a kedushin minat Torah. So the time she's ready for real kedushin, meaning when she turns an adult, she's no longer a besula, right? Well, that's an agreed upon halacha by all. Everybody should agree with that. It's not only Rabbi Lezer's chiddush. Ha Rabbi Lezer? There's only Rabbi Lezer speaking. Not the Rabbanon. Why would anybody disagree with this plain and simple, obvious halacha? Elam Rav, I'll explain to you the context of this halacha and why it's only Rabbi Lezer, not the Rabbanon. Lo elam b'kain heti. Let's go back to the original case. It's a regular kain. Don't marry a ketana. You know why? Nothing wrong with her. But v'chayshinan shemat espate olav. We're concerned because she's underage. She might get involved with other people, to spot the olav, other people convince or coerce her, and she'll get involved with other people, and due to her immaturity, and that's problematic. Yoch Yisrael Nami, then if that's the case, Yisrael shouldn't either marry a Ketana. The same thing might happen. Answers the Gemara, there's a big difference. Bituya Ketana Oinasu. When a Ketana strays in this manner, it's considered like an Oinas, like against her will. She doesn't have the self-control, maturity to guard herself properly. It's not something which we sort of hold against her. She's not accountable for it. It's like an Oinas. It says, oh, it happened against her will. Voinus be Yisrael, Mishra Shari. We all know that Yisrael's wife had a forced experience with a strange man. That doesn't affect her status vis-a-vis her husband. So worst case scenario, even if this happens, the Yisrael is mutter in her. But a Kohen, even an Oinus experience with an Eishes Kohen makes her usar on him. So don't get involved with a Ketana, who might not know how to be careful. That's one pshat, Rebbe Lezer. Kohen Gadol, don't marry a Ketana. Sorry, a Kohen Hedi, don't marry a Ketana. We're concerned about deviation. Rebbe Papa Amar, big Kohen Gadol. Let's go back to the other pshat. We're speaking about a Kohen Gadol who may not marry a Ketana. He's only meant to marry a Na'ar from 12 to 12 and a half. Vayitanu, following the following Shita, the Sanya, Besula, when the Pasuk says a Kohen Gadol marries a Besula, Yochel Ketana, perhaps even a Ketana, who is a Besula, Tamlema, it says Isha. Right? It says, she needs to be a gadoila. Isha, if that's the case, you need an Isha Yochel Begeris, perhaps way past, maybe 12 and a half and up. Tamalayma Besula, no, Besula. So we're very limited. Okay, how does this work? Yotso Miklal Katnus. She needs to be beyond the age of Katnus, meaning from 12 and up. Ulachlal Bagrus, Le Basa, but still before Bagrus, between 12 and 12 and a half. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, hi Tanu, I found another Tanu who goes along the same lines as Sanya Basula, who is meant to be for a Kohen Gadol, ain't Basula Elo Nara, it's only a Nara, from 12 to 12 and a half, Vachenu Omer, as the Pasuk says, by Rivka. V'hanara Toivas Maram Oid Basula. So we see that Nara and Basula are synonymous. Interesting, Taisa has a Kasha. He brings from the Seder Oilam that she was only 3 years old. And here the Gemara is referring to her as a 12-year-old. So he says, but Tzorach Lema, the last line of Tosfos, Tzorach Lema, the Midrashis, Chalukim Ze'alzeh, there are various Midrashim with different opinions. Al Kaponim, Al Gemara certainly refers to Rivka as being 12 years old. We had one more sheet on the Braiser, Blazer Omer, Ponoi Habala Pnuya, Shaloi Lashem Yishus, Aso Zoyna, perhaps this is part of the same Braiser here. In any case, or it's just referring back to the previous price, so we had the Shita of Rebbe Lezer, a Pana and a Pliyo interact. She's not an Eshashish. There's no Arayas. But an inappropriate physical interaction between a Yisrael and a Bas Yisrael, Aso Zoyna, makes her a Zoyna. Omer Ab Amram, no, Ein Alchka Rebbe Lezer, we don't follow the Shita, we follow the Shita's Chachamim, only if it's by way of an Arayas or a Goy, etc. Continues the Mishnah, Lo Yibotil Adam Mipiriya Veribya. One should not abstain from involvement in period of Eribia and generating offspring. Elam Cain, unless he already did so. Yeshlai Banam, he already has his children. Vishama Imrim. What is considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah? Shnei Zacharim, two boys. Ube Yisrael Imrim, Zachar Nekeva, a son and daughter, Shneimar Zachar Nekeva Baram. We see that the nucleus of humanity was Zachar Nekeva. Likewise, when Hashem instructs us to generate another link in the continuation of humanity, it needs to be a Zachar Nekeva. And the Mishnah says that once he has his children, there is no longer a need to engage in period of Arabian generating children. But it sounds like he still should be married. He can marry somebody who's unfit to have children, but marriage is a separate concern. Marriage is an institution on its own, separate from the child-bearing aspect of it. Even if he has children, he puts the rest, but he's still married. He should still be married. That's a raya, Messiah, Rav Nachman, Shmuel, who says likewise. The Amar Afal Bishi Ishla Adam Kama Bonim, even if a person has many children, Asr Lamad Bla Isha, he should still be married. Shinamar Loy Toif. Hayyis Adam Lavadai. It's not Toif, a person to live on his own. You know, Chaim Friedlander Zatzal, he had a series of shiurim that he used to give to Chassanim. They put it out in a beautiful pamphlet, very, very short and to the point, concise, brief, but really powerful. And he brings down, if it's his own vert or based on the Maral, he says, what does it mean, Loi Toiv Yosei Adam Levade? What is Toiv? He says, the Ramchal, Rosh Chaim Lotzato explains, Toiv means good. What is good? Derech HaToiv LeHeitiv. One who is really good wants to give over goodness to others. He wants to share his goodness. That's why Hashem created the world to begin with. Hashem is the epitome of Toiv. He wants to share that goodness with us. Miteva, Miderech HaToiv LeHeitiv. We say it on Rosh Hashanah. Chol Aminim, right? He's a Toiv U'Meitiv. HaToiv U'Meitiv L'Roim LaToivim. He's Meitiv because he is Toiv, and therefore he doesn't discriminate between Roim and Toivim, because it's just giving for the sake of giving. In any case, he says that's the pshat. A person on his own can't really epitomize Toiv. It doesn't manifest. It doesn't express itself if he's just on his own. Toiv needs a recipient for his goodness, for his atava, for his graciousness. Loi Toiv hayoyis adam levada. If you want to really be Toiv and share that goodness, which is the epitome, which is the expression of a Toiv, answer loi ezer kenegdai. I'll create a wife for him, with whom he can share his Toiv, with whom he can spread his Toiv and experience it properly. So that's the point here. Even though he's already Mekayim, Primi Verubia, marriage is a separate thing. Living with somebody else and developing your good midas. Igadamri. There's another version of this Gemara. Mishnah says, well, Lo Yivatl Adam, right, it shouldn't be Batal from Puru, unless he has children. Ha Yeshle Bonim. Apparently, if he has children, batal piriviribia, batal namim ish, he doesn't need a wife either. That's the assumption. And how to learn the mission? Neima tiyavet yufta. Perhaps this is going to be a stira. The Rav Nachman Shmuel says that person should always be married. Loi says the Gemara. Let's redo the pshat in the mission. Ein le bonim. If he has no children, in that case, he has to look after two things: a wife and a wife that can bear him children. No, you say Isha, Bas Bonim, marrying Isha has the ability to bear children. So he has his wife and he has his children. However, Yesh Le Bonim, he already has children. So children is no longer a concern, but marriage is. No, you say Isha, La Bas Bonim, you can marry Isha who's not able to have children, such as an islandess, etc. Nafkamina. A big Nafkamina here is Limkar Sefer Torah Bishvil Bonim. This halacha can have a very, very grave halachic ramification. He has a sefer Torah. Now he has a choice. He has a choice. He can marry an isha who is not of childbearing ability. In that case, he can get around without selling the sefer Torah. She has enough. She's bringing in enough into the marriage. He doesn't have to sell a sefer Torah to support her. On the other hand, he has an isha who has the ability to bear children. But for her, he has to sell a Sefer Torah. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. So what does he do? Well, it depends. If he already has children, in that case, there's no justification for selling that Sefer Torah to get the Isha who's going to bear him children. Let her marry the other Isha. And she says, an Akara, a Zekena. However, if he needs children as well, then he can sell a Sefer Torah in order to require the Isha who can help him with the mitzvah of Pru Revu. Okay, so what do we learn today? We started Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the caver of the Akum. Although it's metame b'magu b'masa b'nap b'oil, atem kruim adam, ve'eino ev dekechavim kruim adam. Okay, in God, although he's not allowed to marry an almana, let's say he was Makadish, the almana, and then he became a kohen God, like in the story of Yeshua ben Gamla, he can carry on. This doesn't work by Yibum. So Yibum is asur by a kohen Gadol. Whether she was previously married to his brother, in which case there's a lois hasei, she's an almana, and also avera of mitzvah hasei, she's no longer a besula. That certainly doesn't work. What about if she was only engaged, mina irisin, in which case she's an almana, but she's not lacking in the besula. In that case, mina rabbanon, it's usher, because the first bia might lead to the second one. which is already past her basula state. We had all the definitions of the word zoyna, meishas ish, etc., etc. We had idleness, that was Rabbi Yehuda's version. We have Rabbi Lezer who says pani and pnuya, but the chachamim hold dafka and isha was involved with a goy, an eved, a mamzer, an arayas, etc. Some shittas hold that a kohen gadol may only marry a nara. She's an adult, but not yet a begeris. Who included with the sugya of marriage for the sake of pru uravu, which according to Beis Shammai Yishtei Zacharim, according to Beis Hillel Zachar Nekeva, or as the Gemara concludes, irrelevant, irrespective of pru uravu. The halacha is that a person should always be oimed with an isha. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabbah.